Well, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the Supreme Lord has different relationships with his spiritual and his material energy. The material energy serves him at a distance, separated from him. Then Narada's prayer to Krishna in the 27th chapter of the 10th canto was quoted, two verses. Jiva Goswami started analyzing those two verses. So let me repeat the verses. Vishuddha vijnana ganam swasangstaya samapta sarvartam amogavanchitam swatejasa nitya nivritti maya guna pravam bhagavantam imahi Swam Ishwaram Swashrayamatmamayaya Vinimita Shesha Vishesha Kalpanam Kridartam Abhyata Manushya Vigraham Namos Natosmi Duryam Yaduvishni Satvatam. Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things, and by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. I bow down to you, the Supreme Controller, who are dependent only on yourself. By your potency, you have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now you have appeared as the greatest hero among the Yadus, Vrishnis, and Satvatas, and have chosen to participate in human warfare. Okay, we're discussing, we're into the two paragraphs ahead. Discussing the meaning of the second verse. Tata Twam Shri Krishna Akyam Bhagavantam Eva Swam Shain Eshwaram Antaryami Purusham Api Santam Natosmi. Furthermore, I bow down to you, the personality of Godhead known as Shri Krishna, who is present in his partial expansion as the controlling Lord, the Purusha who regulates from within. So Ishvara was used. Bhagavantam and Ishvaram were mentioned in the verse. Bhagavantam is Krishna, Ishvara is Paramatma, his expansion. I bow down to both of you. Katam Bhutam, Ishvaram. Is this Ishvaram again? No, but he's giving a second interpretation of the word Ishwaram. Katam Bhutam Ishwaram Sarupa Shaktiya Swashrayam Api Atma Mayaya Atmatra Jivatma. What is the problem? Yeah. Oh, really? I'm sorry, we read the whole verse? Okay, so, okay, let's start, let's go back, paragraph. Okay. Anyway, no harm in repeating. Anayor Artaha, the two verses say as follows. Vishuddham yad vijnanam paramatattvam tadeva ganak shri vigraho yasya swasamstaya Sarupa Karena, Sarupa Shaktiya Vava, samyak apta ivapta nitya siddha purna va sarve artha aishvaryadayo yatra. Apta iva apta. The verse says apta whatever, apta. It says abhyata, actually, in our verse, our version. No, vinirmita ashesha. Oh, samapta sarvartam. There's apta in the first verse, second line. We're on the first verse. Samapta sarvartam. You've achieved everything you want and need. But this problem with this apta, the Supreme Lord is supposed to have everything eternally. So it's apta iva apta. It's as if he was achieving it, although he really has it eternally. So the two verses say, we approach for shelter that personality of Godhead, who is perfectly pure consciousness, the Supreme Truth. He is perceivable, meaning that he has a transcendental body. All his purposes of sovereignty and so on are completely achieved, or rather they seem to be achieved, but actually are eternally realized. Or alternatively, we can say that all these purposes are complete. And this is by swasamstaya, his own constitutional nature. That means the form of his original identity, swarupa, akara. Or else it means, alternatively, it means it's achieved by his eternal internal energy. Okay, ata eva navidyate ati tuchatvat moge vritta bhute jahat karye vanchitam vancha yasya. Therefore, there is nothing desirable for him, vancha. He has no desire among the useless products of material creation, which are without meaning because they are extremely insignificant. It's not they don't exist, but they're just garbage. Everything in the material is just garbage. It's real garbage, but it's just garbage. Kvachit avanchitasyapi sambandho drishyate ityashankyaha. And if a skeptic proposes that he is sometimes seen to have connection with something material, even though, it's not he, it's in general. That someone, I'm changing the translation, can be seen to have connection with something, even though he, lowercase, okay. And not material, just something. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm rewriting the translation of the sentence. Now let me read it. And if a skeptic proposes that someone can be seen to have a connection with something, even though he has no desire for it, that happens. People have connections they don't want. Because the argument was just given, he has no connection with the material world because it's all useless. So he doesn't want it. But, someone may say, people sometimes have connections with things even though they don't want that connection. Well, it is said in reply, ityashankya aha swatejasa swarupa shakti prabhavena. Nityam eva nivritto duri bhuto maya guna pravahas. I'm sorry, in the word pravavena there's an anuswara under the end, but I think that's a mistake. I don't think there's any reason to have an anuswara there. What's the rule? The natvam? Does the word pravava have an anuswara under the end? Should it? Doesn't the ba block it? Sorry?
I have just maya guna pravaha.
Swarupa shakti prabhavena. Jiva Goswami, fourth line. Svatejasa Sarupa Shakti Prabhavena. You don't see it?
Prabhavena.
I'm wondering, is there supposed to be a Sribalena or not? Anyway, I made a note of it. We'll check it later. Svatejasa. Yeah. Why? Ba is allowed to go in between?
Yeah. Pavarga.
Pavarga, any Pavarga. Okay, that answers it. I'm sorry, we have a serious problem here with the sound system. I can hardly hear anybody with the fans going, and the microphone doesn't work very well. Let's put it next to your mouth to start with. Even then it doesn't work.
Okay. I'm sorry, so...
I think it takes place, the change for na. Although they're in different Vishnu Padas, because upendran no padesha sya natvam makes it possible, even though the nimitta, the paranimitta is in the upend.
Okay, so the cerebral end is cerebral. Okay, now, I didn't finish the sentence. So svatejasa sarupa shakti prabhavena nityam eva nivrito duri bhuto maya guna pravahas tat parampara yasmat. Well, okay, this is the answer to to the suggestion that he might have a connection even though he doesn't want the connection. The answer is, by his own power, the strength of his internal energy, the current of Maya's modes, their extended expansion, desists. It remains far away from him. Okay, so the answer is, his internal energy is driving away the material energy, so it doesn't get near him. That's another reason why the material energy is away from him, because he's not interested in it, because she's embarrassed, but also because the internal energy won't let her get near. So you can say, well, he might have a connection even though he doesn't want to. Yeah, but still his internal energy is keeping him and preventing him from having a connection with his external energy. Okay. Itam eva yuktam virahitam shaktya gunamayat mamayaya it yuktam. Therefore, it is said. Let's see where it's said. 12. In the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 12th chapter, it is said, yuktam, he is joined by and separated from the Maya of the modes and his own Maya. He's joined with his own Maya and separated from the Maya of the modes. And actually, his own Maya does the separating. He's keeping him separate from the Maya of the modes. Okay. Atma Maya, and then Jiva Goswami explains that statement. Atma Maya ya sarupa bhuta ya shaktya yuktam gunamaya virahitam iti tam bhagavantam sharanam vrajema. That is to say, he is joined by his own Maya, his external energy, and separated from the Maya of the modes. And the last phrase hasn't been translated. We take shelter of that personality of Godhead. We approach that personality of Godhead for shelter. Okay? Fixed. Okay. Commentary. The Upanishads identify the Supreme Truth as Vijnana, pure consciousness. Consciousness, of course, means a quality. not the person who possesses that quality. You know, what does it mean? He is consciousness. He has consciousness is what's the fact. It's not that he's abstract consciousness and there's no person there to have the consciousness. He is the person who has the consciousness. But in the Supreme, there's no substantial difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman. It doesn't make a difference in the Supreme. There is no, in the Supreme, in me, there's a real difference between me and my consciousness. But the Supreme Lord, in him, there's no difference between energy and possessor of energy. So you can call him consciousness. See, this is the point here of this whole energy. That you can look at him as the energetic. You can also look at Bhagawan as the energy. Because there's no difference between the energetic and the energy. It's not like you and me. That you're you and your energies are something that you have. There's no difference in God. So you can look at him as the energy. And that's what this Anuchet is doing. Okay. Vijnana and the other spiritual Shaktis have no existence separate from their possessor. And in another sense, he has no existence separate from them. Because they're always there. It's not that they exist and he's gone. No, it doesn't mean, but he's always there and they're always there. So in that way, he doesn't exist separately from them. It's like they're always hanging on to him. He's never there without them, without his qualities. So in another sense, he has no existence separate from his spiritual Shaktis. Namely, that he is always full in awareness and never oblivious to the love of his counterparts. Not only is he not aware of what's going on physically, but he's aware of what everybody's thinking and feeling. He's especially aware of the love that his devotees have for him. The inferior expansion of the Supreme Lord Shakti, however, is treated by him with neglect. She is apparently. Actually, he doesn't neglect anybody, but he doesn't look at her. She is responsible for imprisoning inimical souls behind bars of delusion. The kind of delusion which does not dare affect the Supreme Lord and those who are faithful to him. He and they avoid entanglement in the network of Maya. And Maya, the presiding deity of delusion, keeps always at a respectful distance. Thing is, Maya doesn't want to get close. Anybody she gets close to gets contaminated. They're in Maya. As soon as she comes near them. So out of respect, she doesn't want to come near the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees. She doesn't want to contaminate them. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I remember in one of the previous Nishidas, maybe in Bhagavata Sandarbha, or even in Tattva Sandarbha, it was said that Maya, actually, she is a great devotee of the Lord.
Yes, Tattva Sandarbha.
Yeah, Tattva Sandarbha. And therefore, she's doing her service, although it's a thankless job, but still, she's doing the service. So, how can Supreme Lord be neglectful to one of his very dear devotees?
But it says there also that he facilitates her service. He acknowledges it, and he appreciates what she's doing. But externally, he doesn't, he doesn't look at her, he doesn't say anything to her, but internally he appreciates. There's a relationship, but it's not showing on the outside. He seems to be neglecting her.
Is it in order to show that he is completely indifferent to the material things, material objects, to instruct other living entities, or what is the reason for him to behave in this way?
Yes. Maybe he's thinking, whatever I do, living entities are going to try to imitate it. So he starts talking to Maya, consorting with Maya, then everyone else is going to want to do that too, and he doesn't want to get them in trouble. So he shows an example. Don't talk to Maya. Yes? Go ahead. Yeah, they're different than us. Well, yes. Consciousness is inseparable from the soul. There's no, you know, if you die, your consciousness is somewhere, you know, isn't there anymore. I can't, you know, capture your consciousness. If you go away, leave this body, your consciousness is gone too. Your consciousness goes wherever you go. You're never there without some consciousness. Even if your consciousness may be covered, you always have your consciousness. So you and your consciousness are inseparable. Still, you're separate. You're two different things. Just like husband and wife may always be together. You know, they're never separate, but they're still two separate, two different people. But the Supreme Lord, there is no separate. They're not separate. You could say there is this difference. I mean, the Lord's energy is different in a sense, but it's not as much different as me and my energies.
Because sometimes we...
Yeah, because even in the Lord, there's sameness and difference, even with his internal energies. But the external energies are more separate. So me and my external energies, my material body, my material mind, like I have a spiritual body and a spiritual mind too. And I'm not different than my spiritual, my spiritual body and me are not different, they're the same. But material relationships are different. My material body is different than me. My material body can be destroyed and I still exist. But you can't do that to the spiritual body. So that's how the spiritual energy is a lot more non-different than the material energy. There's some way in which the material energy is also not different, but it's a far lesser degree of being non-different. You know what I mean? Spiritual energy is much more non-different from the possessor than material energies are. And that goes for living entities too. Living entity is, we can say, is non-different from his spiritual body.
Yes. In the same line, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bina Prakrisim Ashtadha, he differentiated between his material and
differentiated energy.
Yeah.
Yes. We use the term different. We know, though we're told in the Vedanta, in the Vaishnava explanation of Vedanta's philosophy, that there's actually a relationship, at least in our explanation, according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding of Vedanta. The Lord is non-different, is different and non-different at the same time from all of his energies, including the material energy. But relatively speaking, the material energy is separate. Just like Maya stays away from Lord Narayan, from Mahavishnu. But still, she has a relationship with him, but it's a distant relationship. So we call material energy Bina. It's not absolutely different. There's still a connection. It's still his energy, but it's very distant. It's a much more distant relationship. So it's called separate.
Well, it is a question by the skeptic.
Yes.
In the translation, like by answering the question of the skeptics, is it that we are accepting that Krishna, even though he doesn't have a desire, still he can be in connection with the Maya? mean, what is the possibility? Why we have to answer this question without telling that it cannot, it's not possible? You know? I mean, the question is, even though he doesn't have a desire, he may have some connection with Maya. But answer is given that no, the internal energy separates him. But giving this answer, is it like...
Well, it's saying that may be true for somebody. You know, that may be true for somebody. I have, you know, I have to work for my boss, even though I wish I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But that kind of situation doesn't happen to the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't apply to him. The answer is it doesn't apply to him because we know that he's actually, he doesn't have a connection. Mm-hmm. There's no reason, you know, like everybody, as soon as we let Maya come near us, we get stuck. We fall into Maya. Mm-hmm. She has that magnetic power. Go near her and you become attracted. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have to worry about that because his internal energy is keeping her away. That's the answer.
So again,
is that okay, that's true for other people, uh-huh. that they may become attached to what they don't like, but the Lord has, the Supreme Lord has no worry about that because his internal energy keeps him protected.
Mm-hmm. So here, if you don't understand the energy and Krishna are not different, then it may seem like actually Krishna is...
He's helpless and he needs his energy.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Him.
Something like that kind of. I feel like. I mean, is it the concept is driven here that Krishna and his energy are not different here?
Well, it may look like that. We have to understand, you know, that Krishna takes help from his energies. That's his kindness. He doesn't need the help. Okay. You know, just like the guru is accepting some, you know, practical service from the disciples. You know, they're helping him, you know, washing his clothes for him and cooking for him. It's not like he's helpless and he doesn't know how to wash his own clothes. It's not like he's incapable. And then the disciples start thinking, oh, this guru, he's helpless. If it wasn't for us, he'd be nowhere. They shouldn't think like that. Mm. So we shouldn't think like that about Krishna, that, you know, he needs all this help from his energies. You know, why is he so helpless? Mm-hmm. He's kindly accepting the service. Mm. And that's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. They exist. They exist to serve him, to help him. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't let them help him, then their life has no purpose.
And another thing is also that by this answer, something like a Maya tends to come close by Krishna, and if she comes, Krishna gets contaminated, so the energy is driving her away or something. I'm sorry.
Maya, we know. From other statements that she's has a sense of shame and doesn't try to come close. Okay. But you read in the Brahma Samhita that the realm of Goloka is guarded. You know, there's spears and guards standing in the corners of Goloka, so no material energy can get in. So there are guards posted to keep the material energy out. Not that it's required, but that's there. Yes?
I think why Śrīla Gosvāmī, he makes this argument, because in the verse it was said that although Supreme Lord is not attached to material energy, still he comes to this material world and takes some part in the affairs of this world.
Yes.
So one of the argument is that actually he doesn't have any desire to be with material energy, but still he comes. And then question might arise, okay, he doesn't like, he comes here, so Maya might attack him and contaminate him. So this is answer that it doesn't happen because he has spiritual energies which prevent him from contact with Maya, even though he's in this material world.
Yes, that's another way to look at it, yes. All right, let's try next paragraph. Now, again, 98.6. Tata Twamam Shri Krishna Akyam Bhagavantam Eva Swam Shena Eshwaram Antaryami Purushamapi Santam Natosmi. Furthermore, I bow down to you, the personality of Godhead known as Shri Krishna, who is present in his partial expansion as the controlling Lord, the Purusha, who regulates from within, that's the Supersoul. Katam Bhutam, Ishwaram. Ah, Ishwaram is there. What kind of Ishwar are we talking about? What is that Lord like? That means with the Paramatma Lord. What's he like? Answer, Sarupa Shaktiya Swashrayamapiva Atmamayaya Atmatma Atmatra Jivatma Tadvishaya Mayaya Vinirmita Ashesha Visheshakara Kalpana Yina. Well, now we're actually talking about the Paramatma now, if I'm right, if I don't have it wrong. That Ishvara, although by his internal energy, he is sufficient within himself. He has produced the creation of all kinds of variety by his Atma Maya. The Atma in this context being the finite soul. Atma Maya here means the Maya who acts on the Jivas. Jiva Maya. That's what he means, that's what this verse means by Atma Maya, according to what Jiva Goswami is saying now. Atma Maya means the Maya who has influence on the Jivas. Yadva Atma Mayaya Surupa Shaktiya Swashrayam Vinirmita Ashesha Vishesha Yaya Tata Bhuta Kalpana Maya Shaktir Yasya. The Atma in this context is the finite soul. That is to say, he has done this creation by the Maya who focuses her effects on the finite soul. Or we can read it alternatively. He is the self-sufficient by his Atma Maya, which means alternatively, his internal spiritual energy, by which internal spiritual energy he has produced all kinds of variety. Now we're talking about spiritual variety, not the material creation. This is the sort of creativity, Maya energy, that he possesses. So that's taking Atma Maya in the sense of the spiritual energy. You can read it either way. Kidrisham Twam. Now you see, they were talking about the Ishvara. Now they're saying, what about you, the original Lord? Kidrisham Twam. Samprati tvada virbhava samaye tasyapi ishvarasya tvayi bhagavatye vipaveshat. And what are you like, since during this present appearance of yours, this Lord has also entered within you the personality of Godhead? Uddhava talking to Krishna, that you're the Supreme Lord and the Paramatma has merged into you during your avatar. What else? Yugapad vichitra tat tat shakti prakashena ya krida tadartam abhyatak abhi bhaktabhi mukhyena ata anito prakatito manushyakaro narakriti param brahma iti smaranad tadrupo bhagavadakyo vigraho yena. Who, for the sake of the sport of exhibiting simultaneously also all sorts of your different energies, you who has assumed, that means is brought or manifested into the presence of your devotees, this embodiment, that form called Bhagawan, which has a human shape, as is described in Smriti in the words, the absolute truth in human shape. The words in the verse are Abhyata Manushya Vigraham. He's assumed a human body. But we're taking it, we're reading it as Abhyata. So Abhyata can mean assumed, but he's breaking it down as meaning looking at the prefix. Abhi ata. Ata is taken, assumed. Abhi means on all sides. But here he takes it to mean bhakt-abhimukhiyena, looking favorably toward the devotees, or taking the devotees into consideration. You've assumed this form out of consideration for the devotees. That's how he reads abhyata. He takes the prefix abhi to mean for the sake of the devotees. Let me get to the end of the sentence. Let me just finish the sentence, then you can correct me. Okay, anyway, finish the sentence. What, yes?
In our BBC translation, we have adhyata, not abhyata. We have adhyata. Adhyata.
Let me see. I have it noted. There's a footnote on it. If you look back on the page that has the original verse quoted, there's a footnote. It says BBT says adhyata. But Jiva Goswami reads abhyata and explains it as thus. Narakriti Param Brahma. That's the quote from 10th Canto, that he is the supreme Brahman in human form. How he got a human form? He assumed it out of consideration for his devotees. That's what they want to see. That's what he shows. Last sentence. Tameva punar vishinashti yadu vishni satvatam duryam tesham nitya parikaranam prema bada vaham iti. The last statement is, the last words in the verse are, this is further distinguished by the words, the great hero among the yadus, vishnis, and satvatas. So Durya can mean hero, it can also mean someone, a person who's taking a responsibility, carrying a burden, is also the meaning of Durya. Or it means hero. So in other words, who bears the burden of love for these eternal associates of yours. So he's taking Durya to mean that, literally the person who carries the burden. That goes along with him assuming his form for the sake of his devotees. Abhyata. Commentary. Here the word Ishvara is used in a restrictive sense. Paramatma in contrast to Bhagavan in this first verse. This supreme soul is self-sufficient. But to facilitate the wayward ambitions of fallen jivas, he creates material variety in his subsequent roles as the three Purushas. When Bhagavan descends in his avatars, he includes all three Vishnus within himself. Thus, in the verse under discussion, spoken soon before Krishna's departure from Vraja, Narada tells Krishna about the Paramatma Ishvara, whom Krishna has kept hidden from himself for these years in Vraja, but who now, when Krishna is going to leave Vraja for the wide world, will be appearing separately as Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, the opulent Supreme Lord and his immediate expansions, who further expand as the Purushas called Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and Kshiradakshay Vishnu. So when Akrura is about to take Krishna across the border into Mathura, he takes the bath in the lake and sees Mahavishnu lying there. Krishna is turning into Mahavishnu, or into Vasudev. Not Mahavishnu, but actually Vasudev. And we understand Balaram outside of Vraja is actually Sankarsana. And then Pradyumna and Aniruddha also appear in Dwarka as the son and grandson of Krishna. So Krishna manifests as the Supersoul in that way, or at least as the Chaturvyuha, the origin of the Supersoul, when he leaves Vrindavan. Inside Vrindavan, the Supersoul is hidden within him. Yes.
We're thinking that Paramatma, when we speak about Paramatma in the heart of the living entities, is Kshirtakashaya Vishnu. And it's, in some sense, in the hierarchy, it's lower than Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Aniruddha. But in your translation, that's about Paramatma Ishvara. So does it mean that it's...
Well, you're taking Ishvara in the broad sense of all the Paramatma forms. There are three Vishnus. Mahavishnu is also Paramatma. He's Paramatma of the whole Mad Tattva. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is Paramatma of an individual universe, the whole universe. So it's like the Mahash Samashti Paramatma, the Samashti Paramatma, and then Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is the Vyashti Paramatma, the super soul for individual souls. And then I'm identifying that there's an original Paramatma who himself expands into the three Vishnus. I'm taking Vasudev as the original Paramatma.
But still don't understand, because in the spiritual world we have like first Chaturvyuha, and then we have second Chaturvyuha, and then only we have from Sankarshana we have this Mahavishnu, this Gunavataras.
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe we should somehow clarify it in the commentary that this is like something like original Paramatma or like primary Paramatma, Ishvara, whom Krishna had kept hidden.
I'm sorry?
Maybe they should clarify in the commentary that Narada tells Krishna about the Paramatma Ishvara, whom, so because otherwise we take it just Paramatma, which is in this material world, usually we think about Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. But we have to, maybe we can mention something like...
But that's not, we know, we're told elsewhere that there are three Paramatma forms in the material world. All three Vishnus are Paramatmas, right? Right? It's not just Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. He's the individual, you know, the Paramatma for individuals. There are two other, all three Vishnu forms are Paramatmas. The only thing is, who is this Supreme Soul? I'm talking about, in the beginning of the commentary, I see a problem in my commentary. I'm talking about a Supreme Soul who's like the Paramatma before the three Vishnus. Who's that supposed to be? Because there is no Paramatma in the spiritual world. So there, I think I'm creating confusion. I'm making up a theory, you know, I don't think it's substantiated, that there's some original Paramatma in the spiritual world, as separately as Paramatma. Let me just make a note about this. Who is...
Maybe what was mentioned, that all Krishna's expansions, they are present in his body when he is staying in Vraja, and then when he goes out, they start coming out also from his body. So
yes,
maybe you can just mention about this expansions which are existing inside his body, and take them as this
yes.
Like some other forms of the Lord. In general,
okay.
Not as one on Paramatma, but as a aggregate of all forms which are existing inside his.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I need to, you know, work on this purport. Some confused. But we won't be able to do that. Fix it up right now. I'll have to do it as homework. Yeah.
I just want to know the logical connection between of this whole Paramatma's description with the thread of what you're discussing. Is it Krishna is self-sufficient, still he's creating something? What is going on exactly here?
Well, Jiva Goswami is taking it from the verse where there's two words, Twam and Ishwaram. Now he's reading something special into there, that there's you and there's also the Ishvara. The Ishvara is, you know, not just you're the Supreme Lord, but he's taking Ishvara in a special sense of super soul. And what does the super soul have to do with Krishna and his relationship with his energies? What it has to do is that Krishna stays away from his external energy, but the Paramatma gets involved. The super soul, or Mahavishnu, does glance at Maya. He's the cause of creation. He's the one the form of Krishna, the only form of Krishna that even looks at Maya, even though he only looks once. But it's the Ishvara, it's the Paramatma, who has any connection at all with the material energy and is the actual cause of material creation. Krishna doesn't even blink an eye or do anything to cause material creation. He doesn't get involved at all. Krishna all the way down to Narayan, all the forms of Narayan, they have nothing to do with material creation. They expand themselves into the Purushas or into the three Vishnus to do that material creating. So it's relevant to what kind of relationship Krishna has with his external energy. He has a slight relationship, a distant relationship, only through his Purusha avatars. And they have not much of a relationship either. They just, you know, Mahavishnu glances at Maya. That's it. Yes?
You mentioned this three Paramatmas. Mahavishnu is Mahasamashti Paramatma, and Garbhodaya Shai Vishnu is Samashti, and Shirodaya Shai Vyashti. But also we know that Shirodaya Shai is a separate personality than the Paramatma within the individual entity's heart. Is it that person within the heart is not a separate individual identifiable personality? Is it same as Shirodaya Shai Vishnu?
Which is the first function of Shirodaya Shai Vishnu?
You said Shirodaya Shai Vishnu, Paramatma for individual living entities.
Individual living entities. Well, that is what he does for individual living entities, is sit next to them in their hearts.
But Shirodaya Shai Vishnu has abode, Kshirodaka, he has a milk ocean, he's lying there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Asveshvetad Dvip within the material universe.
Yes, so he also has his own planet, yeah.
It seems like another fourth person within the heart of every living entity.
No, that's him. He just like Mahavishnu is asleep, and in his sleep he creates the world. So Kshirodaka Vishnu also has his sleeping place.
Yeah.
While he's sleeping, he's entering everybody's hearts also.
Mm-hmm. So
no, there's no law against it, but we're not told anywhere that there's a fourth Vishnu who, you know, Shirodakshaya Vishnu does the job of entering everybody's hearts.
So the
he does it himself.
The Vishnu in the heart is the basically expansion of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, or like?
It is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. He can do that. Pleasantly sleeping away on Shweta Dweep and also be sitting in your heart.
Oh, okay.
He can do it. Maybe somewhere there's a description of him expanding to do that, but I never read such a description.
Okay.
You know, we were told that the Lord in the heart is Shirodakshaya Vishnu, not some fourth Vishnu.
Okay.
Yes.
Prabhuji, the Garbhodaya Vishnu Samashti Paramatma, so we take him as Paramatma in relation to Brahma, I think. But
yes.
What about Mahavishnu?
Especially when Brahma takes the universal Virat Rupa as his body. Then Brahma is the Jiva inhabiting the Virat Rupa, and like any other material body, it has two souls. The super soul is there, and that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the Virat Rupa.
And Mahavishnu is the Paramatma of?
He's the... You can call him the Paramatma, the super soul of the Mahatattva, or Pradhan, the whole material creation.
And you said Mahavishnu, the name comes because he is the Vishnu of Mahat.
Mahatattva.
Mahatattva, okay.
That's one reason why he's Mahavishnu, yeah. Not just because he's bigger than the other two. He's big Vishnu and they're small Vishnu. No, because he's the Vishnu of the Mahat. Each of the elements exists separately in each universe. There's a covering of each element surrounding each universe, up to false ego. But there's only one Mahatattva, there's one pool of Mahatattva in which all the universes are sitting in that pool. And then every element after that is sent a portion separately for each universe. But there's no separate Mahatattva for each universe. There's only one big Mahatattva. Yes?
We are discussing this thing, but we started the discussion from whether Vedas can describe Krishna or not. So this particular discussion, I just lost the link, like what, how the things are flowing around to this part.
We're done with that. We're in a new Anuchet.
Okay.
This Anuchet is about on a different topic. This Anuchet is talking about the Lord's energies.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see the Lord in terms of His energies.
Okay.
And that's what Anuchet 98 is about.
Okay.
So we have to consider His relationships with His spiritual energies and His material energies. That's the topic of 98.
Okay.
97 is finished.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, we have to stop now. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Thank you.